It is very easy for us to be satisfied that we're Christians going to heaven, but never really come to that place where we give up everything for Christ. In surrendering ourselves and giving up everything for Christ, we need to be then convinced of our unbelief. Because if we have truly yielded to Christ and given up everything to serve Christ, God gives us amazing, truly amazing promises that if Christians access those promises, our lives would be dynamically different as we live in total dependence upon Christ. Having given up everything to serve Christ, convinced of our unbelief, we cannot rest until we obtain Christ. Christ said to those two on the road to Emmaus, "O fools, and slow of heart to not believe all that the prophets have spoken." Paul longed for the righteousness which is of God by faith, Christ being that righteousness. Unwillingness to make Christ our focus, our passion, is the reason that people turn back who trust Him as Savior. It's the reason that folks who have been Christians for a long time cease to serve Him with excitement and joy and anticipation. And it's the reason that others who watch us, who see us, who observe us, have no desire for the God that we claim to serve. Listen, folks, people know how to be miserable all on their own. They don't need Jesus to help them be miserable. And if they see us with the same disposition that the rest of the world has, the same uncertainty, the same unsettledness, the same lack of passion, the same lack of focus or zeal for things that are eternal, why do they need our Jesus? They need our Jesus when they recognize that our Jesus has satisfied us, has given us a passion and a purpose that is beyond the things of this life. They need our Jesus because they recognize that Christ is consuming us. And we're still happy. We're still excited. We're still passionate. We live with great anticipation of what He will do. We cannot keep our mouths shut because Christ is our life. We've surrendered all to Him and allow our lives to be consumed with Him. I now invite you to look at John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18, where we see that Christ is our fullness. John 1, verses 14 through 18, "And the Word was made flesh," speaking of Christ, "and dwelt among us," speaking of His earthly ministry in His incarnation, His flesh appearance. "And we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him," John the Baptist, "and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." Verse 16, read it together with me, John 1, verse 16. "And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Father, I ask that You would help us this morning to get over ourselves enough to embrace the fullness of Christ. Heavenly Father, I recognize that we live in an affluent society, and our tendency is to be drawn toward and desire that which this world offers. And in that sense of longing for the temporary, we find ourselves not longing near enough for the fullness that is in Christ. Lord, I pray that You would help us to recognize this morning that we have all that we need in Christ. Lord, I pray that You'd use Your word to speak to our hearts again this morning concerning the reality of who Christ is and what He means to us and all that He provides for us. Speak to our hearts, Spirit of God, I pray, to the end that we would yield ourselves to You to experience Your fullness, and not only that temporary fullness that the world offers. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. There's a lot of passages in the Scripture that communicate the idea that Christ is all we need. Some of you probably remember the course that used to be popular, "Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need." Doesn't say a lot, does it? But it says everything. Christ is all I need. There's a second verse, "Christ is all I need. All I need. He was crucified. For me He died on Calvary. That He loved me so. This is why I know Christ is all I need." Haven't been able to figure out who wrote those words, But another song was written with this title, All I Need. Charles Price Jones, 1908, wrote this song. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. The chorus, wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, he is all I need. Verse 2, Jesus is my all in all. All I need, all I need. While he keeps, I cannot fall. He is all I need. Verse 3, he redeemed me when he died. All I need, all I need. I with him was crucified. He is all I need. To my Savior will I cleave. All I need, all I need. He will not his servant leave. He is all I need. He's the treasure of my soul. All I need, all I need. He hath cleansed and made me whole. He is all I need. Sixth verse, glory, glory to the Lamb. All I need, by his Spirit sealed I am. He is all I need, wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure. He is all I need. I read songs like that. I read verses that God has given the others ability to write, and I get kind of excited. But I find what I get excited about isn't near as easy to live as it is exciting to read. Treated with horrendous indignity by German soldiers while a Jewish girl in a German prison of war camp, Corrie Ten Boom said, "You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." Folks, what I am preaching this morning is not going to be easy for us to embrace. And it's not because we don't want to. It's not because we don't have a heart's desire to find out that Christ is all we need. But the fact is, we have so much that we don't need. We have so much that God has blessed us with. We are a prosperous people. The poorest of us are very rich. And so when we talk about this concept and the preacher gets up and tries to preach with some level of passion, the reality that Christ is all we need, we find ourselves hard-pressed to discover the blessedness of that truth because so much gets in the way because of all we have that we never find out that he's all we need. John the Beloved said in John chapter 1, verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received. Writing to God's children, to God's people, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Paul said it this way in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, for in him that is in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Think of it, everything that God is, all the fullness of his Godhead was contained in this one Jesus Christ who was sent to be our Savior. For in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. And yet we know that we're not experientially. We find ourselves longing for so much that does not satisfy. There's a longing in my heart that I don't think the teenagers will ever understand in this ministry unless God truly reveals it to you. Jesus is enough. We are not opposed to friendships. I'm really not opposed to cell phones. I'm opposed to what cell phones do to us. I'm not opposed to possessions, and I'm not opposed to nice clothes, and I'm not opposed to eating once in a while. I'm opposed to what it does to us. We get so absorbed, we get so focused on the things that we think we need that we never discover that Christ is all I need and that we're complete in him. He is enough. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Christ said in John 10:10, I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it how? More abundantly. Yet that abundant life escapes us, that more abundant life, because we find that our hearts long for and desire what we don't need, thus vacating the possibility of finding out that Christ is all that we need. Paul prayed that the Ephesian believers would know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, because he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us by Christ Jesus. Christ is all we need. We are complete in him. Paul had already told the Ephesians that God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And yet somehow for the Christian today, that's just not enough. We look at the world around us and we look at fellow Christians beside us and we think, if I just had what they have, if I could just achieve what they have achieved, if I could just be what they are. And God is trying to tell us that in Christ you have all that you need. You are complete in him. He is sufficient. And yet we struggle to believe it. I want to relate three truths that God has brought to my heart. And to quote John MacArthur, he said, and I can't quote it exactly, but almost exactly, this passage oozes with so much theological relevance significance that it's hard to comprehend it. This passage oozes. Sometimes I like those farm boy terms. You know, the theology sometimes escapes me in the significance of the words, but oozes, I get the sense of that. It is so full, it overflows. It's so full that it just presses out from the pages of Scripture, from every word, that God has given us everything that we need in Christ. We have a hard time getting a hold of that. But first of all, to find out that Christ is all I need is to recognize that to be complete in Christ is to have wholeness. To be complete in Christ is to have wholeness. He said, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Wholeness is evident by how Christ ministered to people. Wholeness is evident by how Christ empowered the apostles to minister to people. We sometimes get wrapped up in the miracles of Christ from a wrong perspective, but when you look at the miracles of Christ, whereby he healed somebody, they found out in a moment that Christ was all they needed, that they were complete in him. The man that could not see could see. The person that could not hear could hear. The woman that had an issue of blood was healed after visiting physicians and spending all her substance. She was complete in Christ. He was all that she needed. You reach out and touch his wings. You will find that there is healing there. And to come to Christ only for the physical reality of what we need and never understand that it's simply a representation, it's a depiction of the fullness of the wholeness of Christ. He is all we need spiritually. What happened to those people physically happened to every one of you. The day you bowed your head before a holy God and said, I needed Jesus, I can't do it on my own. And you asked for his forgiveness for sin, and he made you complete, whole, healed, spiritually. In Acts 9:34, Peter said to Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee hygienic. All you Greek scholars are now turning to your Greek pages. But it's the word, I believe, that we get hygiene from. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. What God did for them in their physical being, Christ does for us in our spiritual soul. Makes us complete. He heals us. He's all we need. He was entirely well the moment Peter spoke to him and said, Christ makes you whole. The healing miracles of Christ and the apostles made people completely healthy. If any man be in Christ, he is what? It's a new creature. When the lame man rose up in Acts chapter 6, and every time I look at that passage of Scripture, and I looked at it again this morning just to remind myself of some of the principles, but in Acts chapter 3, we find, beginning with verse 6, that immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Why? Because he was complete in Christ. This man who was born and lame from his mother's womb had never set his body weight upon his feet, found himself standing up. He was whole. He was complete. And it was evident by him jumping. Well, first he stood, then he walked, then he leapt, and then he praised. Can you imagine the people sitting there looking at him and saying, what is going on? They could not deny his completeness in Christ. Christ was all he needed. And when they looked at Peter, like he had done something amazing, what did Peter say? With wonder and amazement looking at Peter, his response was, don't look at us as though our power or holiness. Significant words there. Don't look at man as though he had power or holiness. Don't miss the word holiness. Why did Peter say that? Because it's the holiness of Christ that made him the Savior of the world, that made him capable of conquering every consequence of sin, one of which this man was experiencing. He could not walk. And it's the holiness and the power of Christ, not Peter's, that healed the man. So he said, don't look at us as though our power or holiness made this man walk. God hath glorified his son Jesus, and through faith in his name, God has made this man strong. Jesus was enough. We have Old Testament examples. Even David, a child of God with a heart after God, cried out that God would create in him a clean heart, a heart with no impurity, with no sin, with no blemish. God stated to those in Ezekiel's day that he has the desire for Israel to give them a new heart, a heart of flesh, not one of stone. And that's what John was saying in John chapter 1, verse 16. As he summarized the testimony of John the Baptist, you are whole, you are complete, you are full in Christ. There's nothing lacking. In Christ, we have grace upon grace, sufficiency added to sufficiency. And I want you to get this, and this is what John MacArthur helped me to see. Much of Paul's teaching in the Pauline epistles was to convince people that were caught up, as in the book of Colossians, with certain doctrines and teachings and arguings and ramblings. Paul was saying, no, Jesus is enough. The vain and empty philosophies of man aren't what you need. The Gnosticism of the people in Colossae isn't what you need. The Judaism of the people of Galatia is not what you need. The false philosophies of humanism are not what you need. Legalism is not what you need. Pagan mysticism is not what you need. Gnosticism, asceticism, yeah, intense self-discipline. It's not going to improve on what God has accomplished in you. Christ is all that you need. And some of you say, yeah, I know. That's why I'm an antinomian. No law, no boundaries. I'll do as I please and live as I please. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. And Paul addressed that too. Why? Because Christ is all you need. You make God your belly, and you defy the very grace of God that was displayed on the cross of Calvary. You do shame to the very crucifixion of Christ to live like the world and act like the devil and live for the sensual pleasures of this life. You do disgrace to the very salvation that God gave you, saying that pleasing my flesh is what I need. It is not. Christ is all we need. So in 2 Peter 1:3, we read that God's divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, Jesus, that's called us to glory and virtue. Godliness does not leave a Christian who has found Christ as all they need. Worldly living does not capture a Christian who finds that Christ is all they need. Self-indulgence does not control the one that says, Christ is all I need. We do not find satisfaction in those things that bring shame to the very glory and holiness of God. Why? Because Christ is all they need. John the Beloved wrote to Gaius in 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. He said, God has done something for you spiritually because Christ is all you need. He said, I trust God will do the same things for you physically. But that verse proves that God does within our hearts and lives, regardless of the condition of our physical body, God does in our hearts a work of redeeming grace that makes us whole in him. So to be complete is spiritual wholeness. Secondly, to be complete is to have sufficiency. I don't know if I can describe all that I want to describe in reference to this, but numerous places in the New Testament describe the grace of God that is sufficient for our need. To be complete in Christ is to be whole, to have wholeness. But to be complete in Christ is to have sufficiency. God said to Paul, my grace is what? Sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, wrestling with that and grappling with it, having prayed 3 times that God would remove the thorn in his flesh, he said, I came to this realization that I would glory in my weakness. Well, Christians, you see, we're just not there. We're just not there. Paul said, I would glory in my weakness that the power of Christ may be evident in me. And again, I say to all of us, including myself, we do not experience the power in the sufficiency of Christ because we find ourselves leaning on and depending upon things that are not sufficient. But when Christ is all that I need, I find that he not only is my wholeness, but he is my sufficiency. He's enough to meet the need of my hour. We often do not access the grace of God because in our mind we have enough strength of our own to meet the challenge of the current hour. Never find ourselves empty that we have to only depend upon Jesus Christ to get us through. A person said to me, I don't want people to come to our church and think we've arrived. And it was phrased in the realization that there's churches where God is working and it's evident. But there's an air about them that says we got it and you don't. And they said, I don't want people to come to the church thinking that we've arrived, but rather come to our church as one beggar with another, realizing that we found some bread with Jesus. Now get a hold of it. That woman, we would say almost being taunted by Christ, you have no place as a Gentile at the table of Jesus. She said, yeah, but us dogs get to lick up some crumbs. Now don't take it beyond what's being said, but she said, I know that even the dogs can come to the table of the Jews and find enough. And it's not that Christ is only pleased to give us crumbs. The fact is, if we receive crumbs at the hand of Christ, it's enough. Christ is all I need. And I do not want to be a church where we think we've arrived. I don't want to be a church where we've seen the blessings of God. I don't want to see a church be a church where we've seen the hand of God. I don't want to be a church where we've seen the working of God. I don't want to be a church where we've seen the miracles of God and say, we've arrived, come and be like us. Rather to be a church that says, we as beggars came to Christ and you as a beggar can come to him too and find all that you need because Christ is all that we need. He's my sufficiency. One by one, he took them from me. All the things I valued most until I was empty-handed, every glittering toy was lost. And I walked grieving in my rags and poverty till I heard his voice inviting, lift your empty hands to me. So I held my hands toward heaven, and he filled them with a store of his own transcendent riches till they could contain no more. And at last I comprehended with my stupid mind and dull that God could not pour his riches into hands already full. Now I stand in peace before him. As upon this truth I dwell, how he's filled my life completely, caused my heart with joy to swell. Now I walk this pilgrim pathway with true joy and humbleness, giving all for his own glory, knowing that's what he will bless. Do you long to know the blessing of his glorious smiling face? Will you now your life surrender to the riches of his grace? Nothing will your heart desire that he cannot for you fill with his own abundant riches as you walk within his will. Folks, I'm telling you, we don't very often access the sufficiency of Christ because we don't come to the realization that it's Christ that I need. To be complete in Christ is to experience wholeness. To be complete in Christ is to experience sufficiency. To be complete in Christ is to access true victory. I'm not going to preach on this. I've preached on this in the past. But I want to say to us as Christians, victory in Jesus has to be more than a song that we sing. I like the song. I like the upbeat tempo. I like to rejoice in the reality that we have victory in Jesus. But sometimes we sing about it, but we know in our hearts we don't experience it. In Colossians, Paul sets the declaration of being complete in him in the context of Christ being the head of all principality and power. In verse 15, we say that Christ's death on the cross for us caused him to spoil all principalities and powers and make a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I don't know how I can get you to comprehend the power of this passage of Scripture. I don't know how we can possibly comprehend the full significance of verse 15 of Colossians chapter 2, but Christ who died on the cross, Christ who took our shame, and allowed it to be placed on himself that all the ordinances and articles and all the declarations and accusations that could be leveled against us in the righteous law of God, all of them were taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. All of those things that were written, the blood of Christ ran down and covered over them, convincing us that his blood was sufficient. Every last sin, past, present, and future. And to know that that reality is true and that Christ spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them, means it's a disgrace for me in my life to live in defeat when principalities and powers have already been conquered openly. If somebody in war is spoiled, it means they've been defeated, means they've been conquered. It means any strength, any power, any greatness that they have is now owned by the conquering king. And I don't know how he could get us to envision our lives with all the wickedness and twistedness and selfishness and sinfulness that is in us and all the flesh that seeks to govern us. I don't know how I could get us to envision that Jesus Christ, in that day that he died on the cross and in that day you humbly came before him and bowed your head and said, I need you to be my Savior. I would need to be set free from my sin. I don't know how I could get you to envision that in that moment he took and spoiled all the power in you to sin and replaced it with power in you to live in glory and victory and godliness. We live a weak, anemic Christian life because God is not our sufficiency. And if we live that weak and anemic Christian life, I guarantee you it's not the fault of Jesus Christ. His death on the cross is sufficient. We live weak lives, lacking victory, because we've chosen to live in the weakness of our power and have thus abandoned the infinite power of the Spirit of Christ that dwells in us. Father, I pray that you would help us this morning to come before you and simply say, Lord, I want to experience the completeness that I already have in Christ. I want it to be experiential, not just theological. Lord, would you move upon the hearts of your people to simply come before you in humble dependence, begging you to enable us to realize what you've already promised is ours in Christ. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.